Hello, this is Pastor David Coleman, pastor of the Harvest Worship Center, right here, Patrick Springs, Virginia. I want to give you a personal invitation to come and be with us August the 14th, that is on a Sunday, at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to be with us to hear Colonel David Giamona, retired Army Colonel. What a great man of God and anointed of the Holy Ghost. He's just come out with his new book, A Military Guide to Disarming Deception. You really want to be in these services because this book speaks to the times that we're living in. He has inside information. He's anointed of God. And I'm telling you right now, there's stuff in here that shows you what's going on in the world, how to be prepared to stand against it, how to not be deceived by the enemy in these last days. So come on, be a part of us. August the 14th on a Sunday, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. right here, the Harvest Worship Center Sanctuary. So come on and be with us. We're going to have a great time in the Lord.
Okay. And the Bible says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Amen. Father, tonight we thank you for your word. We ask you to come and give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Guide our every thought, guide our every word. Holy Spirit, we say we desperately need your touch. I pray tonight, God, that, Lord, that lives will be drawn close to you. And Father God, that the saints will be strengthened. We rejoice in the fact that, Lord Jesus, that this is the revelation of you. And Lord, we thank you tonight that as the body of Christ and as the church, that we know that you're going to rapture us out of here. And Lord, the early church was thankful for that, rejoiced in it, and gave you praise for it. And so, Father, we do the same tonight. We give you thanks and praise that, Lord God, this is not an escape. It is a going home. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it tonight. Thank you for the anointing of your presence. And God, all you do, we give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Last week when we ended, we talked about, I wanted to remind you of the scripture that said that there was silence in heaven for about the space of a half hour. Just to recap a few short things. That lets us know that there's something awesome that's getting ready to come. I mean, awesome in the way that it strikes fear in the hearts of people. I mean, you begin to read and listen to what God says and the things that are coming upon the world in which we live. It's like we were talking about how that oftentimes if a person passes away, a person of importance, or we're going to remember 9/11, oftentimes they'll say, let's have a moment of silence. And so that is reverence, and it is to revere, but it's also to remember and also to fear. And so it is a reverential fear and awe that we should have, you know, that God has given us revelation of what is to come and what is going to be happening in the world. And then we talked about the aroma coming from the incense that was mixed to the prayers of the saints and how that it'll elicit a response from God, that when an angel takes that golden censer and he flings it, you know, full of fire, hurls it to the earth in the revelation that, you know, that it is so important for the saints to pray. Amen. Because it changes things when we pray. Somebody say prayer changes things. And remember that during the tribulation period, there will be people that are born again. And I believe that specifically, you know, that we need to know the power of prayer, that even though that there will be many people that are lost, myriads that are lost without God, that end up going into an eternal fire, you know, we respect the fact that God answers prayer. And I believe that people, you know, because of prayers that are prayed, lives will be spared. And, you know, so that's something that we need to understand. We need to pray now. Somebody say pray now. Pray now. And then how that we talked about the four trumpets sounded and burnt a third part of the earth. And it took and changed, you know, the water in the blood and so forth, and polluted the drinking water. And those kinds of things will be going on during the tribulation period. And we talked about how the heavenly bodies, you know, will be shaken. We think about, you know, what the scripture says. You know, God says in Haggai and also says in the book of Hebrews, I will shake everything that can be shaken so that only the things which cannot be shaken shall remain. And so I want to be an unshakable person. See, Paul said, be ye unshakable, unmovable, always abounding in the things of God. And so especially right now in this hour, I believe the devil is working overtime to try to cause as many people to be distraught, troubled, messed up, you know, taken out, backslid, cold, indifferent, divided. Any way that he possibly can to get at people, he is surely doing it right now in this hour. And so then after the first four trumpets have sounded, an angel will fly through the air proclaiming three woes that are going to come to the earth. He says, woe, woe, woe. And we said that any time that God says woe, it is not good. Amen? It is not good. And so by reason of the other voices, we're going to see tonight that we're talking about three more trumpet blasts that are yet to come. And so as we enter into chapter number 9 tonight, I want you to understand that it's probably one of the most difficult chapters to understand when you begin to read it, and because of all the symbols and things that are used. So far, when you look at John and his writing of the Revelation, we began to see all the different symbols and things that he has used to describe the times and things that are happening. And so we want to try to discern and grow wiser as to see what these things mean. We've talked about the mystery of the seven stars, the seven lampstands, how important that the number seven is. We talked about the creatures and the beast full of with eyes within and without. And, you know, about those angelic beings that are there in the presence of God. How the descriptive words that are given to describe the throne of God. We talked about the rainbow in the midst and how that the crystal clear river flowed from the throne of God. About all the precious gems that were there in the throne, the sights and the sounds. And so when you begin to read that, I don't know about you, but especially if I'm a person that may be a little ignorant in the scripture, I'm like, whoa, that is some heavy duty stuff. And I can tell you that having been in the ministry for over 40 years, that I still read it today and I look at it and I say, dear God. I mean, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to see some of this stuff. I'm going to see the angels full of eyes and within and without. And as I told you, I said, if I were to see something like that right now, I'd probably run and hide somewhere because I would be overwhelmed and overtaken. But I thank God when I get to heaven, there's going to be no fear, absolute peace. And I understand, you know, that these angelic creatures are there and made by Almighty God. Amen. So Revelation chapter 9, verse number 1, let's get started tonight because the Bible says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now understand tonight, this is not a literal star, all right? It's not like when you look up at night and you see a falling star or a shooting star that we call it. This is not a literal star. And this is not even a star that will fall because actually it is one that has already fallen. And it's the devil, okay? So Revelation 9 and 2 refers to this star as a he. That means that it's him. Somebody say the devil. The devil. The prophet Isaiah said this in Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? I read that verse and I'm always want to be reminded of the one that says that those in the end time, you and I, when we get in heaven and the devil is there, that we're going to say something like, you mean to tell me that is what weakened the nations and destroyed the earth and caused all the problems and gave me all the hell that I went through and lied to me and tormented me? I gave in to that. You mean to tell me that pipsqueak gave me the problems that I'm having right now, messed up the governments of the world and the nations of the earth? He was able to do that. But I want you to listen tonight really closely to what we're going to be saying about this fallen star, about Lucifer and his work, because this revelation says he will be given the key to the bottomless pit. Everybody say he. Talking about Satan. He will be given the keys to the bottomless pit. So this subterranean underground where hell exists, where the powers of darkness are. This is the place of torment where the worst demonic spirits are held and where even the Antichrist is going to come from. Antichrist is a spirit that's going to inhabit a man. John said there are many Antichrists. I mean, you can actually look back through the Old Covenant, or let's say the First Covenant and the Second Covenant, but you look back through the covenants of God and you can see this spirit at work because he is opposed to God. Amen? He is opposed to God. So the word here for bottomless pit is the word abyss. Everybody say abyss. 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 So it's speaking about a pit that has a long shaft that's leading down to it, but it also has a cover over it. Somebody say, thank God. Somebody say, look at somebody, say, thank God that thing's got a lock on it. Amen. It's got a lock on it. So it's amazing for me to think and begin to realize tonight that many of the demons of hell are not free to come and hurt us and torment us right now. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. They're not able to because they're still in the pit. Somebody say, in the pit. Amen. See, this is good for us to recognize tonight because still and yet, I think the devil's done a pretty daggone good job of deceiving people, messing things up, causing people to go to hell. Hell hath enlarged itself, the scripture says. I mean, when you think about there's even more demonic powers in that pit, and that those devils are not loose right now to do things to people. I mean, you think about right now the assignments of darkness that are going on in this earth. Think about the things that were happening. I'm reminded some years ago that I heard a man of God, you know, he was teaching on demonic powers and how that they increase and such. He says demons are released in the earth because people demand that they be. Because people love darkness rather than light. I mean, this is amazing. This will help you to pray for your children, your loved one, because number one, we call them out of darkness to the light because it's the darkness that's given the problem. And see, I don't know about you, but I want the rapture to take place, but there's a lot of people that I want to see born again right now that are, you know, that they're not ready to meet God. They're not ready to meet him. And so I want to be one of those people that have, you know, that are breathing prayers and God's hearing my prayers and he's filling the bowls of heaven and he's pouring out his spirit and he's moving in the earth. And I believe that there's going to be a great revival. But right now, you know, when this scripture, when he begins to tell us this, the devil's done a pretty daggone good job of messing things up. So remember before the fall, of man, when Satan was cast out of heaven, the Bible talks about heaven and the angels of heaven as being a what? Innumerable host. What does that mean? A number that cannot be numbered by man. Infinity. Now you think about that. God has an innumerable host of angels in heaven. Satan took a third of innumerable. There's somebody look at somebody and say, that's a lot of devils. That's a lot of evil. That's a lot of darkness. And you think right now, and I mention this quite frequently because number one, we need to be reminded and we need to pray. We need to bind it. We need to pull it down. We need to come against it. We need to take authority over it, the LGBTQ, you know, A1, the transgenderism, but also the gambling casino in Danville, Virginia. You know, those things, all the stuff that hell moves in with. You think about the drugs right now, the fentanyl. They say there's enough fentanyl to kill every person in the United States right now here. It was amazing the other day to see the bust of the fentanyl that they had. I mean, dear God, I mean, the thousands of fentanyl pills. The young people right now are dying at an alarming rate because of fentanyl. Because look at somebody and say, it is a bad devil, a bad drug. So a third of innumerable was cast out of heaven. So the Bible says that Satan is going to descend, and what's he going to do? The Bible says that he has a key to the bottomless pit. Let's look at Revelation chapter 9, verse number 2. He opened it. Everybody knows what Pandora's box is, don't you? It's not jewelry. Somebody say amen. It's not jewelry, ladies. Pandora's box. You think about, oh my God, all this evil starts coming out, and this darkness and all this demonic stuff. It says, when the devil opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke of a gigantic furnace. Now, I'm reading from another translation tonight instead of the King James. Now, listen to what it says. The sun and the sky were darkened because of the smoke that rose from the abyss. My God. May I suggest to you tonight that that smoke was a cloud of demons? Amen. You ever seen multitudes of people and you look down, if you saw that multitude in the heaven, it would look like a big black cloud, wouldn't it? Amen. Overshadowing things. So think for a moment about the darkness that's already in the world right now. But when Satan opens this pit, black smoke is going to rush out of it, covering the earth in darkness. I'm reminded of what Isaiah says when he says, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. But he speaks to the church. He says, but the Lord will rise up on you. During this tribulation period of people upon this earth, I think about the evil that's here now, because we're hearing testimonies all the time. God is moving. Oh, dear Lord. You know, and I believe that we're really getting ready to see what Jeremiah Johnson prophesied about the LGBTQ, that those people get delivered by the dozens. I believe that in the name of Jesus. I believe that stronghold is coming down in Jesus' name. But I thought about that. I'm thinking about, you know, the darkness that's released and the darkness in people's minds that caused them not to be able to see, not to be able to hear. Because it's like you can tell a person the truth, but it doesn't ring in their heart. You know what I'm saying? They can see it with their eyes. People, a person can die right beside them of an OD on drugs. But you know what? They'll keep on taking drugs themselves. Amen. The evil that's out there, it's almost like, well, that's not me. That's bad. I know people right now that, you know, probably were helped to cause other people's deaths because of drugs, and they were partying together. And you know what? They'll go sit at the grave. They'll go cry, tears running down their cheeks, and talk about, you know, how bad it was. I lost my best friend. But they cannot comprehend the fact that they were part of that, and that if they had had the righteousness of God in their heart, if they had been born again. See, Satan is so blinding. He's so blinding. And so right now, thank God that I believe for revival. I'm believing God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen it. So that tells me that there's going to be great light that's released in the midst of the darkness. Light shines the greatest in the darkest time. But it's not going to shine unless you and I get up. That's what I want to get at. Because he said, but the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. See, the light and the glory of God rises in believers, and light cannot rise without you and I getting up and being voices and being examples to people and preaching and witnessing and being Christians in front of people. Amen. And so that's so important tonight, because right now the body of Christ shouldn't be arguing about whether how close they can live to the world. We should be saying, God, give us more of your glory. Let your power rest upon us. Let the light and the glory of God rest upon me, Father, that my light might shine. Because Jesus said, let your light so shine before the children of men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, the person that you work with, the only light that they'll ever see is probably you. How bright is your light burning? How much light you got cranked up? How much glory? And see, that's why prayer is so important, you know, in our lives. So here, you know, he's telling us that when Satan comes down, has this key to the bottomless pit, and he opens that thing, that these things rush out into the earth. And so we're going to begin to see tonight how this work takes place. Because, you know, when I look, you think about America right now. The political correctness has caused what? Defund the police. Amen. All the other stuff, that critical race theory. I mean, who would ever thought that our children would have to go and be in danger of being told as little bitty children, you know, that they need to experiment with the opposite sex, with the same sex? That's demented. Only something out of a pit of hell can do that. Amen. When you have leaders that teach this stuff and say that it's all right because they're involved in it themselves, you know, and they're wanting to force that up on humanity and force it up on little children. You remember what Jesus said? It's better for you to take a millstone and tie it around your neck and jump off in the river and drown yourself than for you to offend one of my little ones. Amen. Let that be a warning tonight to leadership, you know, that's in the world in which we live. And so he's telling us here, he said, man, there's coming a time in tribulation period because these demons won't out. But you know why they can't get out? Because we're here. Look at somebody say, we're here. The devil cannot have his way as long as we're here. The Antichrist cannot come as long as we're here. Now, there are many spirits of Antichrist, as we said. That's just simply opposing Christ. Amen. Opposing God, opposing Christ, the anointed one with his anointing. The devil cannot do what he wants to do as long as you and I are here. So God has put us here as the last bastion of hope to a dying world. And so we're here to say, devil, you cannot come. You will not have my sons and daughters. You will not have our children. You're not having this generation in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If we ever are going to preach and stand up, it should be right now. Right now. Somebody say, right now. Right now. Right now. So he opens it up. Darkness comes rushing out of it. And the Bible said it covered. Everybody say, covered. Covered the earth. The nations of the earth. The nations of the earth. And then in verse number 3, this is what it says. And there came out a smoke, came out of the smoke, there came out of the smoke, listen, locust upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. So these locusts that are released are going to be like scorpions. This is amazing to me. And so they're going to have stingers to poison their victims. Mm-hmm. So these locusts are going to be demon-possessed. Listen to what I'm telling you. According to the scripture, they're going to be demon-possessed and have horrible abilities and features, part animal and part human. Sounds like something got out of a test tube somewhere. Sounds like Wuhan, China. I'm saying, dear God, man, I hate a bee. I was out here the other day working and had a big thing about that long sting me on the back of my arm. I went, you foul devil, you. But so you think about this. He's telling us here that locusts, everybody say locusts, grasshoppers. Oh, grasshopper. Locust. Locusts with the ability to have stingers and poison. They're half human and half this. They're possessed of devils. And these locusts are going to have stingers that stab. Somebody say stab. Stab and poison. Now you think about this, because victims rarely die from the sting of a scorpion. And so in this case, when they sting the body, you think about when a scorpion stings, the body turns black and blue. And you know, it's venomous and poison. And it actually, you know, it causes a person to go into convulsions. Are you listening to me tonight? Anybody that's thinking about, I'm going through tribulation period, I'd say, and you know, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus during tribulation period. You stay here if you want to, baby, but I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't getting stung by no scorpion, by no daggone grasshopper. I mean, we grew up, we played with grasshoppers. We tie string around their leg and see what it can do and so forth. I'm saying, is this retribution or, you know, is it, are they coming back after us? But really, this is something that seemingly to me is out of a test tube. Something has happened. Something is going on. But this is something that's being released out of this pit at the same time. Are you listening to me tonight? So the pain is unbearable, they're telling us. Unbearable. So what could be worse than millions of demonic possessed locusts afflicting humanity? Dear Lord. Somebody said that's a lot of locusts. That is a lot of locusts. In verse 4 of the Revelation, listen to what it says. And it was commanded them, those locusts, commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, because what do they munch on? Green stuff. Neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men who have not been sealed with a mark of God in their forehead. Remember last week we talked about how that God would not allow the powers of darkness to be released until he had sealed 144,000? Somebody say, thank God for the seal. See, a little hint of this is like, you know, we're sealed of the Holy Spirit of promise right now, you and I. But we're protected by the blood. We're protected by the word. And see, under this time, grace is not going to be here for people in the manner that we have grace today like we know it. And so these powers of hell released upon humanity and what they're doing, but they're not going to be able to touch what God has sealed. Amen? Now think. So as intelligent as these demon-possessed locusts is what we're going to call them tonight, demon-possessed locusts will be, it's amazing that they'll still be under the control of God Almighty, because God said, you can come and you're going to do this to men, but you're not going to touch 144,000. That's amazing. You tell me God can't head you in?
That's right. Amen.
You tell me God can't protect you? Oh, yes, he can. Believe me, that scorpion army of grasshoppers, these demon-possessed grasshoppers that are half human and half animal and have the power to sting like scorpions and cause people to have convulsions and be in this tremendous pain, that God has said, look, that's your assignment for tribulation period, but you cannot touch the 144,000. Do you know that that's going to be a testimony to the world? But it's also going to cause the world to even hate them more. Amen? Now think about this. So they'll only be able to harm those who do not have the seal of God in their forehead, even though they want to, but they're not going to be able to. And so think tonight. God commands these locusts not to harm the grass. He says, don't harm the plants. Don't harm the trees. And so I believe that probably one of the reasons for this is because of ecology. You know, you think about this today, and think about what's going on in the world right now, because it shows you we're getting closer. Somebody said we're getting closer with the rains and the fires and the floods and all the stuff, that the unexplainable stuff that goes on in the world in which we live. But the ecological condition of the earth is going to so shift that if it got any worse, it would probably be destroyed. And so God says, okay, you can touch this, but you can't harm the trees and the green grass and those things, or the 144,000. And it's really important for you to understand tonight, because when your green plants is where you get what from? Oxygen. If it's all gone, are you going to be able to breathe? No. So God says, don't hurt that. Don't hurt that. Just think, though, my God. Oh, well, we need to keep reading, because this gets interesting right here. In Revelation verse number 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. These things are going to have the ability to torment and sting people for 5 months. And their torment was as a torment of a scorpion which striketh a man. Now listen to me. See, this locust will not be able to kill, but only torture. You got that? Will not be able to kill, but torture 5 months. 5 months. You know these little things they come out, we call them locusts, that fly around. You know, they're annoying and they make all that noise and all that stuff, you know. Yeah, cicadas, you know. They're still ugly. They're still, you know. I'm thinking, thank God that thing can't sting me. Now, I've never, you know, my dog used to eat them, jump up and catch them, act like it's the best thing to eat there ever was. And, you know, but you think about that. But think about 5 months of something that you're going to, in our minds, we're saying, it looks like a what? Part animal and part human, part, you know, this, you know, are you serious? Yeah, God's serious. He's saying, this is going to happen. Somebody said, oh, I don't believe that. Well, let me say, I see a lot of stuff I don't believe today, and I see it with my eyes. I go to Walmart and see stuff I don't believe. How many have ever been to Walmart and sold stuff? You're like, are you serious? Pajamas? Are you serious? Cross-dressers? I'm like, dear Lord Jesus. I'm like, I'm seeing it, but I don't believe it. See, it's going to be something that's going to happen for 5 months, 5 months. In verse number 6, it says this. And in those days, listen to what it says. And in those days, men shall seek what? Death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Wow. So think about what he's saying here. I mean, in all consideration, pain and suffering is going to be so horrendous that people are going to seek death, or they're going to want to die, and death is going to flee from them because of the scorpion stings, because of what's going on. You think about this thing now, because when these things sting, it affects the nervous system and infects it. All right? Parts of the bodies are going to swell. They're going to hurt. They're going to burn. The bodies will cease to function properly. Can you imagine being in convulsions, vibrating and foaming at the mouth, and all this stuff is going on because of the sting of this this grasshopper, this locust, okay? And some are going to suffer serious seizures and convulsions when they get stung by this, and others are going to lose consciousness because of it. I mean, it's almost like beyond imagination, because we've never lived in anything like that. I'm going to tell you, I've seen people with AIDS, was covered with sores from head to toe, and I've actually been in the room with them where they tried to spit on you, and that actually to touch them, they screamed out in pain just to touch a hair on their head. I was in the emergency room, and I'm not going to name names, but I was in the room with a young man that was dying. His flesh was rotting on his body. I haven't even talked about this stuff. But, I mean, it was like I saw the flesh decaying on his body. It was rotting on him. He was alive inside a rotting body. That is amazing to me. And I'm thinking, dear God, man, I have seen some bad stuff in my time. But what is this going to be like? No wonder there was silence in heaven for the space of a half hour. Man, when God says, let's take a moment of silence, because it's some bad stuff coming. Remember the rumbling thunder in the distance lets us know that something horrendous is coming. And so you think about us, you know, here we are, you know, we're able to take medicines and we're able to do stuff to make ourselves feel better. We'll take a pain pill or go to the doctor and try to get some help. But the Bible says and teaches us that during this time that medicines are going to fail. This is amazing. Many will try to commit suicide, won't be able to do it because God will not allow them to die. They will seek death. Death will flee from them. I didn't say it. God did. He's not a liar. See, this is amazing. See, when I saw those people in those bodies, that person of AIDS, that person in the hospital that had hepatitis, and something else was going on as well, I looked there. They wanted to die, but they couldn't. The suffering to me was amazing. I'm like, you stand in the presence of something like that, and it is amazing to me. It's just amazing to me, you know, what can happen to an individual. But I know it's going to be so bad right here that people are going to seek death and are going to want to die and can't. And then in Revelation chapter 9, verses 7 through 10, the Bible says this, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Listen to this. And on their heads were as it were like crowns of gold. And their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Wow. I know that I was watching a documentary, you know, and you know, concerning Israel. Actually, I've even seen it in some movies about, you know, when the locusts swarm. And it sounds like a herd of helicopters coming. The sky glows completely dark because of the swarm of locusts. This happened with Pharaoh. It happened with the Egyptians. If we could resurrect them from the dead tonight, they could tell us. Oh, yeah, we know what it's like for the rivers to turn to blood. We know what it's like to have frogs. We know what it's like to have lice. We know what it's like to have flies. We know what it's like to have locusts. We know what it's like for our cattle to die. We know what all this stuff is like. But that happened in Egypt is a small thing compared to what's going to be happening in the tribulation period. See, it's hard for us to imagine these locusts. So if you were asked to describe what John is seeing, I doubt very seriously tonight you think about him, because when he was describing this, he says, well, you know, I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like this. It's got a body shaped like a horse. It's got a hair like a woman. It's got teeth like a lion. I mean, it's pretty far out. Somebody say amen. And it's got two eyes like a man. I mean, these things are weird looking, man. Demon-possessed. Somebody say demon-possessed. And so when he talks about they were like, this word like appears 7 times, and the word resembled appears only once. So actually what John is saying, he said, look, this is what these things look like. This is what they actually look like. And so he is describing this. They have bodies shaped like horses and a breastplate like the breastplate of iron, something similar to a crown of gold upon their heads, and their faces will resemble that of a human being. And so their manes are like, you know, like if I could describe it, like a horse's mane, but their manes are like a woman's hair, and their, you know, their teeth are small and they are sharp like lion's teeth. And they have tails like scorpions that can sting, and they have the power to do this for 5 months, and their army sounds like a herd of chariots coming. Wow. Revelation chapter 9, verse number 11. And the Bible said they had a king over them. Everybody say a king. Which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. So this is a demonic army, the scripture is telling us tonight. It's literal army. This is a demonic army under the direction of an angelic king. Now, some say that this angelic king is, you know, that he's talking about right here, you know, is probably, you know, they think that it'll be Satan. And then some people say they believe that it'll be one of his powerful assistants, you know, that assist him, you know, in his devious work upon the earth. And so you think about this, that kind of makes sense. And the respect that Satan is the head over the over armies, and he has the authority to command his generals and do certain things, you know, in the earth. And so, but Satan is not one that is confined to the bottomless pit. Somebody say, he's already out. He's here. He's here right now. So he is the falling star who opens the pit to this angelic king, this ungodly army, and looses it upon the earth. And so the name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, which is destruction. And then the other one is Apollyon, meaning the destroyer. And so what did Jesus say in John 10 and 10? The thief has come before to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So since that name is given in Hebrew and Greek, I think that this is noteworthy to bring out tonight, is I believe that he's saying that these things are permitted to move, to not only sting the Jews, but also the Gentile, everybody, okay? To come against every person. And then in verse number 13, it says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. All right, so this is the altar that he's talking about in chapter number 8, and it's where the angel comes and mixes the incense with the prayers of the saints during tribulation period. And so this mixture rises up to God, and one of the things it does is when this mixture comes, you remember that we talked about how that the martyrs had been praying, how long, O Lord God? How long, O Lord God? How long, O Lord God? I don't believe that it's vengeance that they're looking for. I believe it's retribution. I believe because whatever man sows, that he's going to reap. But these prayers move God to release his wrath, is what I'm saying. Move God to release his wrath. And so thank God for Jesus. Somebody say, thank God for Jesus. I'm not under God's wrath. I'm under grace right now. I'm under the goodness of God. And so this sixth angel is going to stand and sound his trumpet, and a voice is going to be heard that comes from the horns of the altar and will speak for the martyred saints right here. That's what we've been saying. So the horns of the golden altar that he's talking about referred to the horns like animal horns. Remember when you see pictures and you see these horns on the ends of the altar? And so they would come and they would tie the sacrifices to the horns of the altar, to its four corners. And so these animals were often tied there as sacrifices. And also there are two instances in the Bible where that people came and they bound themselves, took hold of the horns of the altar. And so what they were doing in the temple, they were saying, God, give us mercy and don't let us be killed. And so that's where we get the old adage is, Lord, you know, we need to get a hold of the horns of the altar. We need to get a hold of God's mercy for this time, for this generation, for the people that are upon the earth. And we need to ask God to give mercy so that they will be delivered out of the darkness right now. Somebody say amen. So when we look at this in the future and see the symbolism of it, God's pointing back to us, and he said, you in turn need to get a hold of the altar's horn of the altars right now, because the sacrifice has already been bound to it. That's Jesus. He's already been given. His blood's been shed. And you need to pray for light to be released and for those people on the earth right now before the tribulation period comes to repent of their sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And then in verse number 14, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the river Euphrates. Now, this was interesting, you know, when I was studying this and looking at this, because the river Euphrates first appears in the book of Genesis. Everybody say Genesis. It was close to the Garden of Eden. It was where Adam's sin was, and it was where Cain slew Abel. Now, I want you to listen. It was where the flood began. It was where the Tower of Babel stood. It is where Babylon was built. It is where world government and world religion began. So it has a long association with a lot of sin. Some of those being astrology, idolatry, devil worship, witchcraft, and other sins that existed upon the earth. And it's amazing to me in the proximity that those things started or were birthed out of was at where the Euphrates is. Isn't that interesting? Amen. So these four angels, we say, okay, who are these four angels? So the fact that they are bound indicates that they are four of the four more fallen angels. Okay? Somebody say fallen angels. So they were bound. They were bound. So they appeared to be powerful cohorts of Satan himself who may have had part in the many sins committed along the Euphrates River. I think that's interesting. It's amazing to me. You take most people that are astrologists, witchcraft, or demonism, or whatever, that they want to go to certain mountains or go up on a high place and pray, New Age people and so forth, to contact some kind of evil demonic presence that's there. And it's because they're deceived and really don't understand, what kind of power is going to be released. Look at somebody say, you can't play with a rattlesnake. You'll get bit. Amen. Sooner or later, you're going to get bit. Now, and so in Revelation chapter number 9, verse number 15, the Bible says, the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of man. Wow. Did you hear that? So these four angels are being constrained until, somebody say until, a precise day, a precise month, a precise year of God's choosing. But when these four angels are released into the earth, there's going to be a third of the population of earth that is going to be destroyed. Now that's a whole lot of people. Somebody say that's a whole lot of people. And so since we hadn't witnessed a whole lot of cataclysmic stuff in our time, the loss of life, it's safe for us to say that Revelation hasn't come yet or been fulfilled. Say, tribulation period's not here yet. Say, you think you're having tribulation. Say, you don't know what tribulation is. That's why he said, then there shall be tribulation such as man has never seen. I mean, you think right now, you think those people in Kentucky that where 40-some people died and then the week before that with the other flood where these people died, you don't think that's tribulation for them? It is. It's tribulation, but that is a light tribulation. That's light compared to this. A third of the population of the planet Earth is going to die. Somebody say going to die. That's amazing. All right, verse number 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. He's talking about a 200 million strong army. All right? So John is pointing to a future army. Since the world's population, especially at that time, was just maybe a million point something. That's amazing to me. Wow. So it's significant today to note that only one nation has the capacity to muster up a 200 million man army. What is that? Somebody say China. China. Only one nation. Now I want you to listen. Everybody knows what's going on right now. Out in the sea. Concerning Taiwan. Yeah, well, maybe you don't. Well, get your prophetic ears on. Listen. So China is the only nation that can muster a 200 million man army. Listen. China's population is over 1.2 billion people. That is a lot of people. Wow. So I want you to think now, right now, if you were Chinese or you were in China or you were even Qi, whatever his name is, over there that's the leader, and you look at the burden that's upon that nation to feed that many people, clothe that many people, house that many people. Are you listening to me? Have medical facilities for that many people. Having ongoing supply for that many people, because that's a lot of people. Somebody say that is a lot of people. Somebody say that's a lot of people. Think about the burden that's upon that nation. And so China has resources on their mind. Russia has resources on its mind. Amen. Verse number 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them. And what? Them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jasmine and a brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Somebody say, what an ugly army. So of 200 million mounted troops, possibly tonight even machines. Somebody say machines. They're going to have breastplates, I want you to listen, that will be fiery red, dark blue, and sulfur yellow. Are you listening? So the heads of these horses are going to resemble the heads of lions. And out of their mouths will come fire and smoke and sulfur, the Bible says. Possibly what he's talking about, there's going to be explosions, projectiles, or missiles that are coming from these, if it's some type of machinery. So it's interesting to note tonight that China's flag is red and yellow, and that many of China's army wear dark blue uniforms, and that China is commonly called the Yellow Pearl, the Yellow Peril, not pearl, the Yellow Peril. And that a fire-breathing dragons, you think about every time that you think about China, you always think about fire-breathing dragons. Is that right? Fire-breathing dragons with large heads. You ever seen the parades that they have? Are a favorite of China's symbols. And this is kind of what John is saying. Same thing. You think about here he is. He's all the way back where he's at, you know, 2,000 years ago, and he's way ahead of us. We're not even in that time yet, and he's describing to us what he's seeing in the future. So this could be describing to us, you know, these fire-breathing dragons with large heads and all this kind of stuff. It could be describing to us battle tanks, rocket launchers, or some kind of a horrible invasion that's going to take place. But we do know that he's telling us that a third of humanity will be destroyed. Somebody say that's a lot of people. Amen. Just hang with me. Verse number 18. Somebody say we're almost there. So by these three was a third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone that issued out of their mouths, the scripture says. So remember, now I want you to remember, when the Antichrist comes to this earth, what's his big promise? Peace. I'm going to be able to bring peace. This is what I'm going to do. You know, he's a political figure. He's going to be there. He's wanting to bring peace. But in reality, he's not going to be able to bring true peace, because true peace only comes where? From the Prince of Peace, and that is Jesus. Amen. So there'll be no peace without Jesus, even though there'll be a false peace. Remember the scripture says, the Apostle Paul speaking to us, he said, when they cry peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction upon them as a woman in travail with a child, and they shall not escape. So this 200 million man army will do what the demon-possessed locusts could not do, because God wouldn't allow them to, and they will come, this army will, and kill a third of all humanity. Somebody say that's a lot of blood. Revelation chapter 9, verse number 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, and their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. See, I told you not at the beginning, I say all this symbolism is one of the things that makes it a very hard book, you know, to describe or to interpret. And so what is John seeing? So what is he looking at? Some say he's looking at horses. Some say he's looking at demonic monstrosities. And I would probably say that is exactly right. I mean, you think about with the capabilities of man today, with all the experimentation that they're doing of human beings and animals and trying to make their own human and trying to do all. This stuff's happening right now, people. Somebody say right now. Right now. It's going on right now to create a human being. That's their big goal. Is to create another human. And so some say tanks and helicopters, and some say some type of a future weapon or whatever, cyborgs or whatever. So we can speculate on what they really are, in all actuality, we just really don't know, okay? With all the descriptiveness and the things that John is telling us, I wish I could stand here tonight and say this is exactly the way it's going to be, but it's not going to be. But I can say on all authority, I'm not going to be here. I will say to the people that want to go through the tribulation period, you figure it out. You're going to see it. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to understand. Amen. But we know that they're going to be deadly. We know that a third of the population is going to be destroyed. So, this is what the scripture is telling us. And then in verse number 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, this is amazing to me. What does it say? Yet repented not. After all the plagues, the stuff that they had seen, all that was going on with all these creatures, these demonic things that are happening to them, it said they still did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils or idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. So those remaining during this time that are alive upon the face of the planet are still going to persist in their sins. They're not going to turn from darkness. That tells you how hard the heart is going to be of mankind. Are you getting this? This is why right now, this is one of the main things that we need to be praying. This is why Jesus gives this to us. And he's telling us, you need to pray for me to soften people's hearts. You need to begin to call people out of darkness. Call them to the light. Pray for God to pour out his spirit. Pray for the Lord to move upon humanity that they can be saved. Somebody say, born again in Jesus' name. And then in verse number 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Wow. You think about that. So, the sins of tribulation right here, he's telling us, are murder, magic arts, or the occult, sexual immorality, and theft. Depraved men and women are going to kill God's people. Talking about Jewish people. The ones that are not marked, 144,000, the ones that have came to God during this time and that'll be martyred, et cetera, et cetera. And so these depraved men and women are going to kill God's children without the fear of any punishment. And unbelievers will be determined to trample underfoot the laws of God and refuse to repent and turn to God. That is amazing to me. That is amazing. I mean, after all, see, we have to understand something. The gospel message is so clear. Repent. Change your mind. Turn to Jesus. Confess his lordship and you shall be saved. Bypass all of this. You don't have to have it. Listen, see this book right here? I would say that there's going to be technology where people can have a Bible or scripture during that time. I would say there'll be a lot of destruction of Bibles and the Word of God. But I want you to understand tonight that people are going to be coming to God, but not in the number that we think that they would, because men are going to refuse to repent. So there's going to be drug abuse, there's going to be astrology, there's going to be fortune telling, there's going to be signs, there's going to be omens, there's going to be theft worldwide. And so right now, because he's talking about a spirit of lawlessness, because what is the Antichrist called? He's called the one, the lawless one. All right, what do we see happening in America? What do we see happening in the nations of the earth? Is it lawlessness? Yes. Lawlessness. These are precursors that are telling us your time is running short. Christian, our time is running short. What we do, we must do quickly. We got to rise up and we got to do what God's called us to do. We got to fulfill the assignment that he has given to us. Somebody say, yes, we have. So the world is going to move further and further away from God, and they're going to move closer and closer to the tolerance of sexual immorality, godlessness, lawlessness, and the promotion of all other kinds of sins. And so this is what the ninth chapter of the book of Revelation tells us. Amen. Somebody say, we're going to miss it. I may be out of here. But doesn't it make you want to tell people about Jesus? Doesn't it make you want to tell people about Christ? Amen. Let's stand tonight. Amen. My God, that is a heavy duty chapter. Heavy duty. Father, I just thank you right now that, Lord, even though darkness will cover the earth and is covering the earth right now, gross darkness, the people, that you rise upon us and your glory shall be seen upon us. Father, we pray right now that, God, the light is in us will grow brighter and brighter and more intense. We pray tonight, Father God, that those who do not know you will come to know you, Jesus. We pray tonight, God, that there will men and women will receive the gospel of Christ, to make that simple decision to say, Jesus, you died for my sin. I give my life to you. I will serve you. I confess your lordship. I pray tonight, Father God, that you give, Lord God in heaven, that grace to them, Father, right now to turn from darkness to the light. We call them out of darkness to the light in Jesus' name. We say to the north, south, east, and west, harvest come forth in the name of Jesus. Every lost soul, Father, I pray tonight, God, that for the urgency to be released in our hearts and in our spirits, Father God in heaven, to win as many people, to preach the gospel, do what's necessary to be done before Christ comes. We have children, sons and daughters, loved ones, God, that do not know you. They're not ready, Father God, for this eternity that is coming at the speed of light, seemingly. I pray tonight, God, that you'll give us a burden. I pray, Heavenly Father, for revival. I pray, God in heaven, that you will help us to elevate our thinking to a place that is eternal, Father God, and realize that everything that we do and say and how we act, Father God, Lord, is touching somebody, influencing somebody. Lord, help us tonight, God. Lord, I pray for the heavenly fire of the Spirit, Father God, to be upon us, Lord. Lord, an anointing to reach the lost. Father, I thank you tonight for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, for showing us these things. And Father, right now we ask you to have your way, God, in every heart and life. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And we say tonight above all, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he lift his countenance to you, turn his face toward you, be gracious to you, and may the Lord of heaven grant you peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Hello, this is Pastor David Coleman, pastor of the Harvest Worship Center, right here, Patrick Springs, Virginia. I want to give you a personal invitation to come and be with us August the 14th, that is on a Sunday, at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to be with us to hear Colonel David Giamona, retired Army colonel. What a great man of God and anointed of the Holy Ghost. He's just come out with his new book, A Military Guide to Disarming Deception. You really want to be in these services because this book speaks to the times that we're living in. He has inside information. He's anointed of God. And I'm telling you right now, there's stuff in here that shows you what's going on in the world, how to be prepared to stand against it, how to not be deceived by the enemy in these last days. So come on, be a part of us. August the 14th on a Sunday, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. right here, the Harvest Worship Center Sanctuary. So come on and be with us. We're going to have a great time in the Lord.